Okay. Tonight is Tuesday, November 22nd. This is the Women's Mishnah Shiur. We began Maseches Chulin, and we'll pursue various aspects of the halacha of Eirach and Neman B'Yisurin. Okay, Rabotai. Last week, we read the opening line of the first Mishnah of Maseches Chulin, which simply stated... I did not re-photostat it because I'm not looking at it tonight, but the Mishnah stated, Hakol Shochtin, everybody is permitted to slaughter an animal. Everybody. Ushchitatan Ksheira. The only ones where the Mishnah stated are not permitted to slaughter are a Cheresh, Shoteh, and a Katan. Somebody who is a Cheresh, deaf and dumb. A Shoteh, somebody who's mentally unstable. And a Katan, a minor. But everybody else is acceptable for the act of Shechita. So everybody means everybody. Me and you. Everyone is allowed to Shech. Men and women are permitted to Shech. We took a peek at Tosafot, and Tosafot cited what he calls Hilchot Eretz Yisrael. Now, I didn't do my homework about the background about Eldad Hadani. I promise you I will. You did?
10th
or 11th century. Excellent. Thank you.
Medieval traveling.
Where?
I don't know. I guess it's
Israel. Okay. So, Eldad Hadani, this medieval traveler, who wrote, compiled Halachot, Tosfos is obviously familiar with it, and he says, Nashim lo yishchot. I have plenty of them. Nashim lo yishchot. Women should not shecht. Women should not shecht. That's what Tosafot says. He doesn't explain why women... I have another one, don't worry. He doesn't explain why a woman should not shecht. Doesn't explain why. So we offered a couple of possibilities last week, and tonight we're going to expand on one of them extensively. Expand extensively on one of the answers. One answer was that in order to shecht, to slaughter an animal, you need halachic trustworthiness that your shechita was done properly. So when I report that I shechted, there is nobody on the planet who would say that I can't be trusted. Not because I'm the rabbi arena, that's got nothing to do with it. Because I can serve as a witness in any scenario. So if I can serve as a witness in court, I can also offer testimony to state that the shechita was done properly. However, you are not permitted to offer testimony in court. So there will be a group of Rishonim who say that just as you are not permitted to offer testimony in court, you are denied participation in that which we call Eid Echad Ne'eman Be'isurim. One witness is accepted when it comes to Isur and Heter. That which is permissible, that which is prohibited. For monetary cases, capital punishment cases, the Torah explicitly states you need two witnesses. Al pi shnayim edim yakum davar. However, that's only for monetary cases and capital offense cases. But are you allowed to eat this or not? That's not a monetary case. It's not a capital punishment case. Are you allowed to wear this garment or not? Or is it shatnez? It was woven with linen and wool and you're not allowed to wear it. Those are questions of isur and heter. So it is possible, we suggested, that one of the explanations would be that Eid Echad Ne'eman Be'isurim means that the only thing that we have reduced from formal testimony to Isur and Heter is the number of witnesses which we require. But the qualifications of that one witness have to be identical to the qualifications that are required for formal testimony in a court. Unfortunately, as I told you last week, you are not qualified to offer testimony in a court of law in a case of monetary law or capital punishment. You're excluded. I told you it's going to change. There's no doubt about it. No doubt. It's going to change as soon as there's a new Sanhedrin. 100%. I'll make sure of that. You can count on me. However, right now you can't. Therefore, you would be precluded, perhaps, from Shechita. And even though the Mishnah did not say Nashim cannot Shech, it might be the explanation for Eldad Hadani who said Nashim lo Yishchot. And we're going to expand enormously on this particular halacha of Eid Echad Ne'eman Be'isurim. Because it's critical to know all of the parameters and the different shitot, because so much of our interaction amongst one another hinges on comprehending this particular halacha. We also cited a second explanation, and we'll see it inside. I have here tonight the Shulchan Aruch, how the Ramah codes the halacha, that there was a concern that you might faint if you shecht, because you can't stand the sight of blood. It seems to be a very prejudiced type of remark, because it's not a halakhic remark, and quite frankly, I don't like the sight of blood either, so maybe I will faint. But no one ever disqualified me from handling the shechita. And since you have experienced childbirth, that argument is pretty weak. But anyhow, that's a second explanation. We'll get to it later on. Tonight, as I said, we focus on the parameters of Eid Echad Ne'eman Be'isurim. Now, the question which we'll initially pursue is, how do I know that this indeed is halakha is correct? How do I know that one witness is accepted when it comes to offering a statement, this is kosher, this is not. This is treif, this is not. How do I know? Maybe the halakha should follow the pasuk in Parshat Shoftim, which doesn't enumerate al pishna. It does earlier, but there is one pasuk says al pishnayim edim you matamet, you execute somebody based on the testimony of two witnesses. But there is another pasuk that says al pishnei edim o shlosha edim yakum davar. Maze yakum davar. Translate those two words. Yakum will stand, will validate. Davar, anything. Maybe you need two witnesses to determine that this is kosher meat. How do I know one witness is acceptable? And then we're going to have a debate whether you're included in this particular halacha or not. Maybe the halacha doesn't exist. So that's going to be our first point of view. Then, should we document where it comes from? We will see there are a variety of opinions under what parameters we accept the testimony of one witness. So start with page number, I'll tell you what page we're going to start with. We're going to start with page number 5. Eid Echad Ne'eman Be'isurim. This is a Tosfot in Maseches Gittin on Daf Bet Amud Bet. The last three lines. Perush HaKudras. It's been explained in the pamphlet. That's Rashi. How do I know? Shaharei He'emina Torah Kol echad ve'echad al hafrashat truma. The Torah has believed every single person to say, you see this basket of fruit? I took out the required trumos and masros. Ushchita. The Torah has accepted the testimony of everybody to say, I slaughtered this animal properly. V'nikur hagid. I took out the gid hanasha, the sciatic nerve, which you're not allowed to eat. In America, we never bother taking it out because it's a pain in the neck. It takes a lot of time. That's why we don't have sirloin steak here in America. In Israel, they do take it out because this meat is a precious commodity, so they go through the bother of taking out the gid hanasha. Here, no butcher does it anymore. None. That the hind quarter, which has the gid hanasha, they automatically sell to a non-kosher establishment. So we believe everybody when they say they engage in the process nikur, which means to remove the gid hanasha, v'chelev, and certain fat. There is some fat which we are allowed to eat, and some fat which you're not allowed to eat. The butcher has to know which one it is, and he carves away the type of fat that you're not allowed to eat. That's called a process called nikur. And in order to distinguish between the two, the Gemara has given another word to permissible fat. Shuman. Shamein means fat. So we call the permissible fat shuman, and the prohibited fat is that which the Torah prohibits. Kol chelev v'chol dam lo tochelev. You're not allowed to eat blood, and you're not allowed to eat the fat on the penalty of karet if you eat chelev. And all you need is the butcher, one butcher, to say, you know, I carved out all of the chelev. This is the fat that you see on your piece of roast happens to be shuman, kosher fat. Yes.
You only need one witness, but that one witness you believe. But do we investigate what kind of status of religiosity or...
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so
in order, that's the assumption that the person is a Shomeret Shabbat.
Or so a Shomer Shabbat.
In order to earn your trustworthiness, you have to be a Shomer Shabbat.
So do they look into...
The assumption is that people do. Correct. But if you know that somebody is a Mechal Shabbos, then you can't trust them. Or...
Is that the main one, is Shomer Shabbat?
What?
Being a Shomer Shabbat is the main... That's the criteria?
Yes. Because if you desecrate the Shabbat, you have forfeited halachic trustworthiness in every area of Jewish law. It's the equivalent, according to the Gemara in Chulin, which we will learn, as if you worshipped idolatry. And if you worship idolatry, you forfeited halachic trustworthiness. There's one other thing. If I am known to be a person who doesn't care about kosher meat, I observe every other mitzvah of the Torah. Every other mitzvah, I eat matzah, I care about chametz, I don't wear shatnez, I do it. I just think that kosher laws are the stupidest thing in the world. I don't observe it. Or I don't observe it because it costs too much money. I go into Acme and I can buy a piece of a steak for $4.50 a pound. Then I go across the street and it's $14 a pound. So I can't afford it. So the halacha is, you can trust me about every area of halacha except kashrut. That's if you are a mumar, a rebel, lidavar echad, for one aveira. So that aveira, we don't trust. But Shabbos is the one aveira that is considered tantamount to forfeiting your trust. That's why the first question that we ask is, is the Shomer Shabbos? That's the first question about any proprietor. Yes.
So I know you've talked about like certain kids who can't keep themselves from their cell phones. everything else on Shabbos, you know, it's probably
they're Michal Shabbos. They have forfeited their halachic trustworthiness.
There's no such thing as
No. First of all, using your cell phone might, I can't say that, there's a debate whether using your cell phone is an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan. But we happen to hold that even if you transgress the Shabbat with a rabbinic violation, you forfeit your halachic trustworthiness as well. So cell phones, which in all probability are only D'Rabbanan, will make no difference. If you use your cell phone on Shabbos because you're hooked and addicted to it, you have forfeited halachic trustworthiness. If the guy signs your ketubah, the ketubah is invalid. It's invalid. If he tells you that the meal is kosher, you're not allowed to eat it. Yes?
Does it make a difference if somebody's on Shabbos in private?
Yes. Yes, I should have said that. We will see that in the Gemara. That which we disqualify in Michal Shabbos, it's only Michal Shabbos b'farhesia, in public. Because that's an act of defiance that I challenge the belief that God created the world in six days. But if you do so, then he is not a Michal Shabbos b'farhesia, and he has not forfeited halachic trustworthiness. Yes? Technically, he can testify, this food is kosher. That is correct. I stand corrected. Yes. Now, so, did Rashi cite a pasuk to establish this particular halacha? Absolutely not. How did Rashi prove it? Just look around. Did the butcher... Forget about in today's times where you have hashgacha on everything. We all remember that we bought in butcher shops simply based on the testimony of what? Of the proprietor. Everybody who lived in Washington Heights remembers that. Goodman and Meyer and Abelis and what was the other guy?
And Hyman.
And Hyman. That's all. It was a Shabbos Shabbos, and that was it. Yes. Yes, 100%. And we used to go into to Crown's Delicatessen on 13th Avenue and 49th Street and buy hot dogs. There was no hashgacha. None whatsoever. The owner was a shamash shop. He served me the hot dog. I ate it. Everybody did. Today, there is no such thing as trusting a proprietor. I'm not saying there weren't violations. I'm not saying there weren't people who engaged in shenanigans. But the whole halach of Eidach and Emma Bisurin has totally disappeared from our planet. Everything requires 50 levels of Ashgacha. Fine. But Rashi didn't even bother citing a source. He just says, just see what's going on. Just see what's going on. That's all. Somebody gives you an apple. Oh, was he makrish tumas and maishas? We assume so. Therefore, you can eat it. That's correct. That's if he's an Amaras.
Right.
On a go Rabbanan level, on a go Raisa level, every farmer is Mafresh. The Chachamim said, probably not. So we have to be Mafresh when you purchase. That's correct. Yes.
Is the reason why the social observing what the social society is doing, is that accepted because Rove will keep it?
Yes, because most people are observant. Yeah, I don't know if that would be applicable today. I don't know if it would be. The majority of Jews are not Shomer Shabbos. Majority of Jews in America, in Israel, are not Shomer Shabbos. So that assumption that most people are Shomer Shabbat doesn't exist today, and that's rightly so. So Rashi doesn't bother citing a source. He just operates. Well, everybody relies on Eid Echad. Must be true. It must be true. I once mentioned to you that Chaim Soloveitchik wrote a magnificent article in which he stated that all Chachmei Ashkenaz operated with this notion that their constituencies were very pious and observant men and women. because the Baalei HaKosos. Sfardim never did. Sfardim knew their custom as well. They come to Davin, they're very charitable, they pay $180,000 for Psichas Nila, but they're not terribly observant. And the assumption, you would never find a Rambam or a Ramban or a Rashba making a statement, but just look outside. People trust everybody. That's based on a certain assumption that the people who you are servicing are indeed Shomrei Torah Mitzvot. It's all across the board by Chachmei Ashkenaz. Baalei HaKosos do this 6,000 times. Tosfos will find the Gemara. And you know how he'll ask the question? Instead of finding another Gemara, which he usually does, but many times just says, hey, I looked outside. That's not the way people do it. It's against the Gemara. How's it possible? So what would you say? Hey, the people got it wrong. No, that's not what Tosfos says. The people got it right. We have to somehow come up with a kvetch to say that the Gemara is talking about something else. Because my people can't get it wrong. That's the Chachmei Ashkenaz ideal. So that's Rashi's opinion. Let's move on, Rabotai. Please go to page number one now for a minute. Page number one. Here is a Tosafot in Kiddushin Samachay Amud Bet. I bracketed the relevant lines. Vitzorich Lomar. You are compelled to say, based on this whole discussion in the Gemara, the Had Amar Bechol Duchti, that which the Gemara says in so many all locations, Chol Duchti, Chol Matamarot, Eyach Ne'eman B'Yisurin, Hainu Dafka Lehatir. It's only to permit a piece of meat. Kigol Basar zu minukeret. This piece of meat has been cleaned of the ginanasha. Then you can accept the testimony of one witness. Oh, chaticha zu shel shumat. The fact that you find in your piece of roast beef is shumat, kosher fat. Abo le'esor hadavar. But to prohibit the item, you can't trust the testimony of one witness. That's pretty strange. Very, very strange. Why would that be the case? It should have been, based on our logic, we would say, what is always worse? Is it worse to be matir, something that is asur, or is it worse to oser something that is mutter? Which is worse? What would you say? Normally you would say something is, if it's osur and you're going to be mutter it, you're setting somebody up for a potential violation. But anyhow, that's Tosfos' opinion. How did Tosfos get to this? How did Tosfos get to this? So go to page number two for a minute. Page number two is a pasuk in Parashat Shoftim. Perek Yutet, pasuk Tetvav. The pasuk says, Lo yakum eid echad be'ish lechol avon ulechol chatat. Lo yakum eid echad be'ish lechol avon ulechol chatat. I'm going to translate the phrase literally. No single witness shall get up in court be'ish against a man, against a person, doesn't mean only a man, against a person for any transgression or sin. Transgression or sin. Now, what word in this phrase is totally superfluous? Just take out one phrase or one word, and the phrase would make just as much sense.
It's
the word "bish." Well, obviously, we're not talking about a monkey.
No, but that differentiates us from Kashrus.
Hold on. I want to show the "bish." "Bish." Let me ask you the following question. What happens if a piece of meat was kosher and you told everybody it was treif? You reported, "I know this piece of meat is treif." What happens? What happens to the piece of meat? What happens to the owner of that piece of meat? What does he got to do? He has to throw it out in the garbage can. So Tosfos infers from this that if you are prohibiting something, that's a statement be'ish in that against that person. Under what circumstances is your testimony against the person when you say it's prohibited? Because if you say it's prohibited, he has to throw it in the garbage. So if he bought a piece of meat and you said this particular meat, the fat around the roast beef, was chaleb, prohibited fat, he has to take the piece of meat and throw it in the garbage can.
Because your assumption is that the person would have said, you're discrediting that person?
No.
Because that person would have assumed it was kosher?
No. Yes. The person thought it was kosher. And you
and
are now
discrediting him for thinking it's kosher?
Not discrediting his reputation. I'm making a halakhic status statement. Buddy, you think this is kosher? I know for a fact that this is not. It's chaleb. Don't eat it. So when I make a statement, it's not just ruling on the what, on the halakhic status of the fact, but that halakhic ruling has consequences against whom? Against that person. Bish. And what does the Torah say about when there are halakhic consequences against that person? Lo yakub edefat. How many witnesses at the end? Al pishnai made it from the two witnesses. However, if you are matir something, even if it was kosher, but if I said that it was mutter, I may have made a mistake, klape God, but I didn't do anything to harm that particular person. But it's not his fault. He'll tell the Rabbi Yishalayla, and Eid Echad said that it was kosher, so I ate it. What can I do? That's totally bad. You know, that's beyond my control. I asked the question. I got the answer. What should I do? Not have not hold them accountable at all. So, based on the extra word of the pasuk, bit-ish, which the pasuk could have done without completely, Tosfos now formulates one of his Tosfos in Kedushin says, the only time that we accept Eid Echad is if it's lehatir, to permit, but not le'esor. Not le'esor. So when you have a mashgiach in a store, according to Tosfos, he can only say everything here is okay. He can't say it's not okay. That would be, what a hashgacha. What a hashgacha. That's Tosfos. Very few other Rishonim adopted Tosfos' opinion. I don't know of another. Half the Tosfos disagreed. The Baliat Tosfos disagreed with this. But that's Tosfos' opinion. It only works lahatir velo le'esor.
You've got to triple the price of meat tonight. Too much meat.
That's correct. Right. Go to page number 3. I'm going to have to spend some time on page number 3. This is the Rashba commenting on Masechet Yevamot, Daf Peichet Amud Aleph. Uleinyan Psak Halacha. When a pus comes to solve, the bottom line halacha, says the Rashba. Mashma Mehacha, It appears from this Gemara, not going through the whole Gemara, it's an Amud long. Bishar Yisurin She'ein Echad Ein Eid Echad Ne'eman Bahem B'itchazek Yisura V'ein B'yado L'takeh. I will explain both concepts and then read it again. Ischazek Yisura means that before a question was asked, whether you're allowed to eat this, whether you're not allowed to eat this, there was a prior status saying you're not allowed to eat it. There was a halakhic prior status saying you're not allowed to eat it. That is what the word ichazek isur means. That the deliberation that the one witness is going to be talking about is about something that already had, before any questions arose, already had a status of a davar ha'asur. I'll give you illustrations to illustrate something where there is no ischazek isura and when there is ischazek isura. Here is a case where there is no prior status. No prior status. I have this sweatshirt. And I ask a question. Is it shatnez or is it not shatnez? What status on this sweatshirt existed before the question was asked? How do you know? How do I know? Maybe it's made out of completely out of one width of one fabric.
You can't wear it until you
check. I didn't ask that question. No. What status does this sweatshirt have? No status. None. You don't know if it's made out of multiple fabrics. And if it is multiple fabrics, maybe it's not wool and linen. Who knows? So right now, when the question is being asked, which you should have it checked. There, claims, says the Rashba, I will accept the testimony of one witness. Because there was no prior status indicating that this garment should not be worn. Hold on one second. So that's lo itchazek. Itchazek means to be established. Lo itchazek isura. The prohibited element has not been established. It's parv. It's neutral. Could go either way. I trust one witness to tell me it's not shat. Or it is shat. Now we go about a kosher shchita. An animal was slaughtered. The shochet is not here. I can't ask him any questions if he knows anything about the laws of shechita. So I don't know if he did it properly. So now, one person is going to come and say, I saw the shechita, it was perfectly okay. Or I did it. But let's operate it. One person testifies and says, I saw it was perfectly okay. Now, what was the status of this animal before I asked the question? Whether it was a kosher shechita or not. What status did the animal have?
Not
kosher or not kosher? Could you eat it or not?
No.
Tell me why not.
No.
Something has to precede that question. Why do I assume that the animal, before the question was asked, has something, a cheskas isur? You definitely can't eat. Tell me what.
You wouldn't even eat.
What's the name of the isur? What's the name of the isur of a live animal? Before you even shecht it, it's asur. What's the name of the isur?
Eva
Menachai. You're not allowed to eat an animal. What's the only way you can remove Eiver Menachah? Through a kosher shechita. If you kill it any other fashion, it if the previous Isur, even though it's dead, the previous Isur remains. Because there's only one way to remove the prior status. What is the only way to remove the prior status? A kosher shechita. So before the shechita, I ask myself, am I allowed to eat this animal? The answer is definitely not. As opposed, am I allowed to wear this sweater? The answer is, I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. But before I ask the question, was the shechita a kosher shechita? I ask the question, I can't say maybe yes, maybe no. The answer is definitely no. That's called a chezkat isur. So the Rashba claims, I will never accept one person's testimony, Eid Echad, if it has to override a previous chazakah of Isur. I will never accept the testimony of one witness. I don't care what's doing outside. I don't care if the Rashba was inspired. I don't care if people say what they do. They were wrong. However, there is a second criteria which will determine whether we accept the testimony or not. Biyada litaken. What does the word biyado or biyada litaken mean? You have the ability to repair it. So assuming you are an expert shochet, or not, who cares? In theory, can you sheft an animal in theory? Yeah, why not? So if I could have done the shechita myself, then the Rashba will say, under those circumstances, it overrides the cheskas isur. I'll trust the testimony of the one person, the testimony that it was done properly, because what could it have been done? The guy could have done it himself or herself. But if it is not possible for the person testifying to have rectified the initial problem, if the person cannot, and there is a cheskas isur, a prior status, the Rashba's opinion is that we do not accept one person's testimony. Those words, I'm going to read it again inside, says the Rashba. Word number 5 in the Bishar Isurin, by all prohibitions. She'ein echad, ein echad ne'eman bahem, bide'it chazek isura, where the prior status is a prohibited one, ve'ein biyado litakeh. By shechting it. So if the question is, was it a kosher shechita or not? Could I have shechted it myself? I report that I witnessed the guy, he shechted it properly. Could I have done it myself? Correct. That's what he says. Litakna. Biyado litakna. Once you have the ability to do it yourself, under those circumstances, we can accept the testimony of one witness. Right? Yes, you can ask the guy questions. I did it myself. Start firing questions at me about Hilchos Shechita. I'll answer every one. V'im kein, he's going to give you a perfect illustration. Matzah tarnegolet shchuta. I already found a what? A shechted chicken. And my question is not about the shechita. My question is this chicken nevela or not?
Why wasn't that the question before? Why did you go to Eva Ben Achai and not
nevela? I could have, because a nevela is only when it's dead. Eva Ben Achai is before you started shechting. Before you started shechting. Oh, b'makom sheyesh lachush l'nevela. at a place where you might suspect that this chicken is the vendor. Oh, l'shchitas nachri. It's a community where the majority of the residents are Gentile. So if I find a slaughtered chicken, what possibility do I have to assume? That who slaughtered this chicken?
A non-Jew.
Now, can I correct the matter any longer?
No.
Why not? Because it's already dead. So I can't correct it. And what prior status did this chicken have? It was usur. Because when it was alive, you couldn't eat it. So under those circumstances, claims the Rashba, the testimony of one witness will not be accepted. Because there is nothing within your power to rectify it. And its prior status, before the question was asked, is that of Isur. That of Isur, yes.
Why? Because they have been hired, they're obligated in it.
What?
Enough we would be obligated in it.
Yeah, so what? Who said they observed in it? This world will be a different world. If all Gentiles, that's what we're hoping for, then you might want to share. Every Gentile will observe Sheva Mitzvah Peninah. Then you won't have to lock your door. Nobody's going to come in and steal. And leave your bike outside. Now the Rashba asks a very powerful question. On that which he just stated, he formulated his opinion. Under what circumstances do we accept the testimony of one witness? He formulated his opinion. Now he asks a question. V'im tomar, if you'd like to ask a question, tifshot meinida. De Omar Rahmana, some people quote the following source as the source that you can trust one witness and certainly women. The Torah tells us in Parshat Mitzora, Vayikra 16, Visafra la Shivat Yamin. She shall count 7 days. Drash Le'atzma. She counts it for herself. Nobody's counting the days for her. This drash is based on the biblical laws of Hilchot Nida, not our rabbinic practices. Biblical. The laws of Hilchot Nida according to Torah law are a woman has her menstrual cycle. You count 7 days. You don't have to do any hefsiktah. You don't have to do anything. Just count 7 days, and then you're allowed to resume having relations with God. That's the halacha according to Torah law. Vissafra, just count. Now, how do I know it's 7 days and not 6 days? Because she said so. Now, let's analyze this case against the rule of the Rashba. Against the rule of the Rashba. Was it in Chazek Isura? When she says it's now day number 7 is over. Was it in Chazek Isura? Of course. As soon as she had her menstrual cycle, she became usher to her husband. And now she wants to report that she's permissible. Why? 7 days had lapsed, and what else did she do? She went to the mikvah. They didn't have that nonsense. The mikvah ten has to give you a receipt that I came to the mikvah. They didn't have that nonsense. You went to the mikvah. You told you, went to the mikvah. You could have gone to the movies. But you're allowed to. The halacha gives you that right. So he asks on himself, if I've just established that wherever what there is a prior status of Isur, you don't accept one testimony. How does anybody say in this particular case that not only will we accept the woman's testimony, But that's now going to become the basis of the general law that one witness is acceptable for Isur and Heter, whether you're allowed to have relations or not allowed relations. How can this possibly be the basis for it? If it's against my rule. So he gives an answer. Now he gives and strengthens the questions. What?
Can't change it.
That's correct. So look in the middle of the third line, the middle, Ikol Meimar, we can answer, we can apologize for this case. The Hassam, by this case only, Kevon Shidarko Lihiyot Roeh Uposeket, Veheter Habo Me'elavu Ne'emet. Since what happened? After a couple of days, she's going to stop having her cycle. The bleeding is going to stop. And that comes automatically. You don't have to do anything about it. It just happens. As opposed to taking out the chelev, that doesn't fly away from the meat without taking it out. How does an animal become a kosher animal to eat? You have to shackle it. It doesn't happen automatically. Here, the status change happens without anything. 7 days pass by, poof, she's permitted. Ah, but that, is she capable of going to the mikvah? So what do we call that? Biyada letakein. She can correct that problem by going to the mikvah. So once she can correct that aspect, when she testifies and tells her husband, you know what? 7 days are up. I've been to the mikvah. Therefore, in this case only, do we accept one person's testimony. But in all of the other cases we've discussed tonight, all of the others, where it doesn't happen automatically, the change in status doesn't happen automatically, but it requires an action on your part, there, under those circumstances, we don't trust the testimony of one witness. You need two witnesses, yes.
I know it's totally different area, but the moon changes without anybody doing it. We need two witnesses to declare a chodesh. Nobody does anything, just open it up. If the moon changed, so that the status of the moon changes.
That's an interesting question. Okay, it's a good question. Good question. So the answer why you need two witnesses is based on a special pasuk in Shmot, chapter 12, verse 2. Hachodesh hazeh lochem. And who is mentioned in pasuk number 1? Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el aharon le'mor. So God said you need two witnesses. Otherwise you might be right. Because that's exactly what he says. Because eight echad naman b'isurin. All of these opinions are operating on the assumption that not only have we reduced the requirement for what from two to one,
so
but with even the stat exact the eligibility changes too.
Does that include slaves and children?
Yes. Yes. Please now turn to page number 6. Page 6. So I've given you a smattering of opinions thus far. I want to show you how the Mechaber and the Ramah formulate the question whether you're allowed a chef or not. And then we can move on in the mission. Says the Mechaber. This is the first law in Shulchan Aruch Yoredei. This is the part of Yoredei that you have to study for Smicha. This is the part of Yoredei Chelek Aleph. Yoredei Chelek Aleph. Hakol Shochatin L'chatchila. Everybody is permitted to shecht. Afilu Nashim. So the Mechaber recognizes that what the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael said is forget about. the Mishnah, if it wanted to preclude women, would have said, Avolo Nashim. Very simple. So Tosfos says, you are allowed to shech anytime you want. So try it. Go to a slaughterhouse and say, I want to shech the behema. Even a chicken, let's try it. Okay? Comes out on a conveyor belt, hundreds of chickens. There are three sheikhtim who stand there, and one chef, chicken number one, he gives his knife immediately to sheikht number two to check the knife, that it should be absolutely smooth. Chicken number two comes down, and sheikht number three shechts chicken number two. He gives his knife to number one, and that's how they do it. That's how they do it. An animal, obviously, that's not the way to do it, but that's how they shech chickens. You go to Empire, that's how they do it. Says the Rambam, Hagar, Yesh omrim, she'ein lahaniach nashim lishchot. There are those who say, we should not allow women to shech. Why? She'kvar nohagu shelo lishchot. What a compelling argument. This is a machlokes of Rishayim. Does the fact that we have never seen anybody shech, does that in itself tell us it's probably us? Even though I don't know the reason why. Since I have, it's called lo ra'inu ra'aya. Others say lo ra'inu lo ra'aya. Ain't no ra'aya. But he is adopting the opinion that happens to be one of the Rishonim. His name is Ogur, not a very popular Rishon. Aleph Gimel Vav Resh. The Ogur says, Lo Ra'inu Ra'ya. The fact that I have never seen a woman Sheikhet means that it's us. I can't explain why, but it must be us, or otherwise there would have been a woman Sheikhet. V'chein haminhag she'ein hanashim shochatot. So is the minhag, this is the Rama speaking in the 15th century, that women do not shech. However, now I'm continuing with the Mechan. So Nashim ve'avadim, slaves can shech as well. We're talking about Gentile slaves who are owned by you, who have to undergo some degree of conversion. V'chol adam, and every person. Afilu ein makirin oto, even though we've never seen this person, and we don't know shemuchzak lishchot shelo yitalef, we have no evidence that what? He's not going to faint. Maybe he faints every time he sees blood. We don't know a thing about it. V'gam ein yodin bo. We have no idea whether he's an expert from the technical point of view. Number three, the Yodea Hilchashita. We don't know if he knows Hilchashita. Nonetheless, Mutar Litain Lo Lichatfila Lishot. You're allowed to give any of the above categories initially without hesitation. Tell them, you want a chef, be my guest. I don't care. And we are all permitted to eat from that person's shechita if they chose to shech. Why? Just 1 second. Shirov haragin lishchot hein becheskas mumchin umuchzakin. Because the majority of people who shech probably know what they do. Probably. If you are in an assembly hall and somebody faints and you call out, is there a doctor in the house? A plumber doesn't come forward. The assumption is that if you're asking for a doctor is going to come. So too, if we're asking for a sheikhet, the assumption is that most people who answer the bell when a sheikhet is called for will be a sheikhet who has some experience and knowledge of the Lord.
How did they learn?
What? They learned, they went to yeshiva. Or they went to a sheikhet. And then he taught them.
Apprentice.
Exactly. Bamed varim amurim, when do I rely on the fact that anybody can shech? kishe'eino lefaneinu. This guy who I don't know is not here. I can't ask him. I can't investigate. So if I can't investigate, what do I rely on? The rove. The rove is that majority of the people who will shef know what they're doing. V'somchin ala chazaka. We operate on the assumption that he knew or knows what he took. Aval im hu lefaneinu, if he's in front of us, sorich lebot koyev, you have to examine him. Im mumche, does he have any experience? And v'yodeya hilchashchita, got to ask him these questions. Do you know anything about shehiya, drasa, chalada, hagrama, and ikra? Do you know anything about it? Aval ein sorich leshoalo im nitalev. You don't have to ask. Hey, did you faint when you shechted? You don't have to ask. That you don't have to answer. Okay. That's the Mechaber. So the Mechaber has a very lenient opinion. You are permitted to chef lichatzis. If you're around, we're going to pepper with you some questions. If you're not around, I can eat the meat, no questions asked. Says the Rambam, v'yesh omrim, she'ein lismoch ala chazaka elo b'diyev. You're only allowed to rely on this if it was already done. But if you come and ask me a question, can I shef? What should I say? No. I should not say yes. I should say no. Aval lechatchila ein lismoch ala chazaka b'makom diyecholin levararo. Lechatchila, I do not rely on any rove before he starts shefting. What do you do? Before he starts shefting, what do? You check him out before. What?
Everyone is the first time.
That's correct. So that first time will be under the tutelage of his mentor. Now, the Rama who piped up and said, you should not chef, didn't say why. Did not say why you should not chef. So I'm going to give you something, the Rama himself will quote it later, but it will explain what might be running through the Rama. The Rama already notices in his day and age, and this certainly was true in all European communities until World War I, maybe even World War II. Nobody in town shefted unless he got the approval of the town rabbi. Nobody. The Gemara later on in Daf Yud Zayin and Chulin will say, the Shaykh who wants the chef has to bring his knife, his challah, to the local rabbi of the town. It's not to check the knife. Anybody can check the knife. What's the purpose? Because the rabbi will give him a little bechina. And he will appoint him to be the communal shaykhet of this town. The way European communities operated, including with the Ramah, and in the Ramah Shul, in Poland, the Ramah Shul, that's the way they did. Shchita was never done by every Tom, Dick, and Harry, only if you were appointed by the Rav of the town did you have a right to shech. For others. You want to chef for yourself, be my guest. But to sell or to for anybody else, you have to have an communal point. So many claim that that's what's running through the Rama's mind, why women should not chef. because he's going to rely on that famous Rambam, which extended a drash, which is found in the Sifri, based on Parshat Shoftim, which says, Son Tassim Alecha Melech, you shall appoint the king, says the Sifri, Velo Malka. You cannot appoint a queen as the titular government head of Am Yisrael. That's black and white in the Sifri. That's the Midrash Halakha on the word Melech. Melech Velo Malka. That's all it says in the Sifri. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim said, I believe this applies to all communal appointments.
That's why I want to get Israel.
Yes.
Well,
that's why a woman appoints some people can't be a woman of a shul. Well, president of a shul. Yeah. No communal appointments. The Rambam said even the water commissioner cannot be a woman.
Definitely not the president of the United States.
What? Right? Yes? So, many claim that that's what's running through the Rambam's mind. Because since you need a communal appointment in order to shef, and we generally shy away from making communal appointments for women, under those circumstances, therefore, conclusion, you don't shef. It's a strange halakha, no doubt.
It's such a stretch you go from.
I know. It's relying on a Rambam. In fact, Rav Moshe has the following tshuva. There was a man who was a Rav HaMakshir in a facility for many, many years, and he got paid very, very well. He died, and his wife wanted to take over the Hashkar. And Rav Moshe deals with this issue. That's an appointment. Usually an agency appoints you as the mashgiach. Or it's somewhat of an appointment to trust the kashrut. It was right? Okay. So Rav Moshe said, you know what? I normally would adopt this Rambam, but the Rambam is outvoted by all other Rishon. And they don't have the extension above and beyond king and queen. Since this was a real parnasa issue for the family, Rav Moshe said, I'm going to rule she can become the Rav HaMash. That's what he ruled. What? Yes, she did. They called her the Rav HaMash. Yeah. Whatever you want to call her. She is it. And I'll tell you what happened in Rina. I asked the Rav when I became the rabbi of Rina, can a woman be president of the shul? He said, you know me, I'm a big Rambam fan. I would recommend that you accept the Rambam's position. So he asked me one simple question. Can the president of the shul spend any money without anybody else's permission? I said, yes. Constitution of the shul said they can spend $1,000 or $5,000, whatever it was, without consulting anybody else. He said, if that's the case, do not appoint a woman or have a woman run for president. Well, we now change that system in Lima. No president can sign a check and spend a nickel without having a co-signer. Cannot. So it meets the rules. That's correct. So I told the president, next time we have elections, if a woman wants to run, let her run for president.
But was his comment that a woman would have his connection to the woman?
Because that in the okay, because the Rambam, why? What is the drash of a melech velo malka? That authority, swara, authority is limited to a man and not a woman. Even the water commissioner has to make decisions of authority.
Co-signer is another woman.
What?
Let's say another woman.
It means that makes no difference. As long as you can't do it independently, it means you don't have authority to make decisions without somebody else. Crucial financial decisions. And that's why today, a woman can be the president of the shul. So put your name into that.
Yes, that's how the Ramah is explained by many. Yes.
Just getting back to Shabbos. Let's say you're in a situation as a woman, and you men are at war, and you have a farm or something, and it's just for yourself. You know how to shaft. You learn the halacha, and you know how to do it. You're not squeamish, and even for yourself and your family, you can shaft.
Yes, for yourself, your family, you can, but for nobody else.
In other words, because it's not the witness idea.
That's correct.
Your own witness.
That's correct. And from a witness point of view, you could shecht for somebody else as well. But this is a different issue. Why does the Ramah say women should not shecht? Because we don't grant them communal appointments to serve.
No, I understand that.
But from the testimony point of view, it's perfectly okay. And Caro ignored this communal appointment business and looked at it purely from the perspective of trustworthiness. Yes, you have the trustworthiness, and therefore you can shecht. For yourself and for someone else. And for someone else. Yes?
Everybody accepts the original witness says about it only being a melech and not a...
That's black and white in the Midrash Halacha of Sefer Dvarim. That's beyond dispute. Melech, drash, velo malka.
So if it were both, it would specify.
Yes, it would say the way the Rambam formed v'chein kol misimot, all communal appointments lo yihe eloish v'lo isha. And he writes kigon amas hamayim, like the water commissioner.
But what I'm saying is, if that were not an issue, we would have a mel and a mom.
Then there'd be nothing to talk about. No, there would not be a reason for the midrash halacha to say anything. Correct. Once there's no comment, we can appoint the woman too. Nothing to exclude her. Yes.
So when Shlomzio was the
Malka,
was there a melech also?
That's okay. Historically, it's a very good question. I don't have a good answer for it. I don't have a good answer for it. Don't have a good answer for it. It's a good question. All right.